Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
It's The Amazing Show, featuring the amazing James Randi. For more information on all things Randi, including the Million Dollar Challenge, head to randi.org. Here we are, part two of James Randi's Tales from the Road with the Alice Cooper Tour. This started when one of our listeners, Jimmy, suggested the topic via email, which you can always do at randi@itricks.com. In the first half of this interview, Randi talks about what he did during the show, and in this half, he talks about what he did the rest of the time. Some awesome road stories are here, so let's get right into it.
I guess, you know, there's two things I wanted to ask you just to wrap up. Number one, how big, and just for our younger listeners, of which I guess I'm one, how big was Alice Cooper during this tour? Like, he was gigantic.
Oh, very big. Oh,
right?
Oh no,
huge,
he was.
Right? Yeah.
They had a gimmick with the show. I'm sure it's been used before. But what they would do is they would go to the major record store in town, major record outlet, and they would give them 20 copies of the upcoming album.
Okay.
It could not be bought. And they just put it on the counter, and the first kids would come in and say, "What's this? Alice Cooper?
Yeah.
Is this the new album? Yeah. How much?" And they'd sell it. And they'd sell the 20, and then, of course, the store would fill up right to the doors and out into the street wanting more. Oh, no, we're all sold out. But Alice is coming on Friday night, and on Saturday morning we will have whatever,
you know,
the arrangement. The lineup down the block. Now, I didn't see any of these lineups. I saw photographs of them.
Yeah, and this is lineup city
down
by
the block.
City.
There were thousands of kids down the block, and only one to each kid, you see. So they'd run out the front door and run around to the back of the line, of course. And the back of the line was half a block away, if not a block away.
Wow. And also the other thing is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this kind of over-the-top theatrical kind of concert back then wasn't nearly as conventional as, say, it is now,
where every
concert someone's flying or, you know, lighting themselves on fire and that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
but back then this is
a
lot more shocking.
This was a breakthrough, I think. I don't know what the other rock shows looked like.
Yeah,
I really don't know, but this was very dramatic. It was sensational. It had the following show. I wasn't with the following show, but they used an idea that I'd given, which is called Movies to Life, in which they actually had a movie being projected on the screen, and you'd see Alice approaching the camera, and then he would actually step through the screen. It was a screen with a slit in it.
Nice.
And he was actually live then. He materialized. But as I say, it was an old movie idea called Movies to Life, and it was done by some of the spook shows and such.
Gotcha.
Shep was right up on the latest, the very latest things. He took advantage of all the technology that he possibly could, but it had to be something that would travel as
yes.
well. That was one of the problems. And we traveled during the winter. We had, it was really nasty. We had a hard time. In one case, the props didn't arrive, but the show did because we flew, you see.
Yeah.
But the props, when the last show was on, they would actually be packing the props at the back.
Wow.
Packing them as the show was continuing.
Was ending.
Yeah, it was ending. And by the time the show was ending, and it was all our own stage, it was an inch and a half thick slabs of plexiglass.
You see, okay.
Illuminated by lights from underneath. They came right up underneath the faces of the performers.
Wow.
So it was very dramatic. It was a really lush set, to say the least. And breaking it down like that, the only thing that was to be broken down was throw the costumes into a big box or something and ship them off to the guys off to the airport, unless we left the next morning, which is the usual situation. We get a good night's sleep. And of course, getting to the hotel was another job because they all knew what hotel we were staying at. And you had to go in through the kitchen entrance. I walked through a lot of kitchens. And it was Alice Cooper is in the building. Alice Cooper is in the building, whatever. So it was sneaking around back doors and good stuff like that. But we managed it very well. We managed it very well. And the day that the props didn't arrive, we had to improvise. Now, we got out there at about, I guess, 7 o'clock in the morning. Everybody. I went out, too, and I had a hammer and nails and the whole thing. We just went out and got garbage. That is, discarded Christmas trees. Right after Christmas, discarded Christmas trees, and we sprayed them with white paint. And we hung tinsel and such on them for no good reason, but we had to do something. And there were lots of discarded Christmas trees. They were up and down the streets.
Oh, man. So these so we went around,
we loaded trucks with them, and we just sprayed them all white out in a parking lot. That parking lot will never be the same again.
I'm sure.
And we set them all around the stage, and we made a show out of it. But they didn't know that wasn't the original show or
the original
props.
Yeah, and of course, pre-internet.
I don't remember on that whether we had the guillotine or not. I think maybe the guillotine arrived late that day, and we managed to set it up. I think so. I'm not too sure.
So it was a very special, depressing, twisted Christmas tree. And Alice Cooper toy.
And of course, Alice Cooper's going around hitting the Christmas trees, and they're shedding most of their needles right there on the stage.
I'm sure it looked, by the end of the show, it looked like Charlie Brown's Christmas trees lighting the tree.
One of the big experiences with the Alice Cooper show was sitting with his mother.
Really?
When we got to Phoenix, and that's his hometown.
Okay.
His father was, as you may know, a Mormon minister. Mm-hmm. And they had never seen the Alice Cooper show.
Really?
Now, this is in days before you could get video cuts of it and such, you see.
Yeah.
And Alice came to me one night and he said, "Oh, you've got to do something. You've got to do something for me." I said, What? He said, "Will you sit with my mother?" I said, "Sit with your mother? Your mother's going to be here?" Now, this is when he was... The tour before is when he got the reputation of killing chickens on stage.
Gotcha.
Which was only taking hotel pillows apart, and the feathers were all over the place, and they started the rumor that there were chickens under the feathers.
Gotcha.
See? So his mother had never seen the show.
Really?
She'd never seen a rock show of any kind. Didn't know what her son did. She knew that he had taken this name.
Yeah.
And he asked me to sit with her in the audience and not call any attention to her because he didn't want her being mobbed, of course. And it was quite an experience because when he walked out on stage, now I didn't have to be there until, I guess I had to be the dentist later on, but I had a good 45 minutes or so before I made a stage appearance. But I sat with her, and when he walked out on stage, his mother just clapped her hands over her mouth. She said, "Oh, Vincent, oh, dear me, oh, what are you doing? Why is he doing that?" And he had these dolls, and he was dismembering dolls on stage and throwing the parts around and such. And he told me afterwards he was terrified because his mother was seeing this for the first time. And she was just aghast. She said, "Why is he doing that? Why is he singing so loud?" And things, which is a good question.
Yes.
Without a very good answer.
Valid, yeah.
But she was horrified, just horrified. She finally calmed down. Then I told her I had to leave her. And she said, will you be back? I said, "Yes, I'll be back. I have to walk out on stage for a short while. I was there to do the dentist thing, you think." Mm-hmm. So I did the dentist thing, and then I shucked off the costume immediately and ran backstage. And then I said that I had to go out and do the executioner thing, too. And I didn't mention to her I was going to chop his head off. But I just told her, I said, "Don't be afraid. It's all just a show." She says, "He's doing dreadful things." Said, "Why is he doing these things?" And I said, "Because it's a show and the nature of the show." And I thought, thanks a lot, Alice, for sticking me with this.
For no prep. Yeah, no prep whatsoever. Yeah,
there you go. I just rang it in on me all of a sudden. But she left in good humor, I guess. Maybe she's still sitting at home with the knee jerks or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sorry for that one show so many years ago.
In any case, I sat with his mother, and very nice lady. But the father I never met.
He never made it out.
I don't know that he did or didn't. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure, and I didn't get into details.
All right. And Cooper, a good guy? Do you guys get along? You and
Cooper? Yeah. Well, we got time for one more.
Sure. No, please. Okay. Come on. It's your podcast.
Well, I've forgotten where it was, but it was in one of these cities. I don't know. Every city we went to, we'd drive in the limousine, and they would seal off the area and the whole thing. We'd get out of the limo, we'd go to the dressing room, and it was all very quiet, and everyone was kept away from us. No reporters, no media, no kids, no nothing. And they'd always, almost always, have cracked crab legs and caviar and champagne and the whole thing. You know, they were treating us like visiting princes.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun. But Cooper and everybody else was always comparing this with the last place. Are they doing better for us than they did in the last place? You know?
Gotcha.
Because we were being pampered like crazy. And in one of them, it happened that we had, I think, three limos would pick us up. And Coop and I got into the first limo, and there's nobody else was ready in time. So he said, oh, go ahead, take me, and you can come back for them if you have to. And so we went ahead, and we were the first two there, and we walked into the dressing room, and Coop started to lay out the makeup and everything, and he saw a dartboard on the wall.
Uh-huh.
And with darts sticking into it that had been set up for our entertainment, obviously.
Uh-huh.
And the pig noses were all over. What's a pig nose? Do you know?
I don't know what a pig nose
is. Pig nose is a little tiny amplifier the size of a couple of books put together.
Oh, okay.
With a little tiny speaker on it. And it was just used for the fellows to tune up in the dressing room. And they would do that, put on headphones. And if they wanted to listen to the speakers, they did. But most of them listened to it from headphones to make sure they were in tune and such. In any case, pig noses all over the place. And caviar and cracked crab legs and big magnums of champagne. Never smaller bottles of champagne, of course, all chilled on ice, the whole thing. And we saw the dartboard, and he said, Randy, do you play darts? I said, yeah, I'm pretty good at it. Mm-hmm. He said, okay, I'm really good at it. He said, we'll hustle the guys. And I said, well, okay, but I'll let you manage all that, because you have to answer for it afterwards. And he said, no, I'll manage it. Don't worry. So the rest of the guys got there, and they're all sitting around. They're putting on makeup and whatnot. And Cooper looks up and he said, hey, that's a dartboard. Any of you guys play darts? I said, well, I do. And he said, okay, you'll be on my team. What other teams can we get together? And Neil, the drummer, Neil Smith, and Dennis Dunaway, the bassist, he said, I'll go with Neil. And okay, fine, we got two teams here. Now, who else can we get? So we formed up a few little groups, you see.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it was Glenn Buxton said, he said, I'm like, not going to compete with Randy. He's a magician. He's got a trick, I'm sure. And I was sitting there, and I had the darts in my hand, and I said, trick. I said, I'll show you how good I am. And I turned my back on the dartboard.
Yeah.
And I looked over my shoulder a couple of times. I said, watch this. And I threw a dart over my shoulder. There was dead silence.
Yeah.
And I turned and looked. I got a bullseye. I didn't think I was going to hit the wall. It was a plaster wall, and I thought it would be sticking in the plaster, you see?
Oh,
and
man.
They'd see it, and they'd say, oh, he's not all that great at it, you see?
Yeah.
I got a bullseye, and Coop looked over at me. He said, thanks a hell of a lot. That's great. Now, who's for darts? And they all said, yeah, sure. And they all just wandered off. And we didn't get
so
a chance to hustle the crowd.
Blew the hustle.
And Cooper told me, he said, that was brilliant. I said, Coop, I didn't know I was going to come anywhere near the dartboard. He said, yeah, sure. It was a fun. And I couldn't convince him.
I
took a couple of days before I could convince him that it wasn't a setup, that I didn't really know how to do this.
Yeah.
I didn't think I could hit the board. So, and another episode. Do you have time for that one?
Oh, come on. Bring it on.
In Denver, Colorado, I remember distinctly. This city I do remember. We got in the night before, and everybody turned in, and I was up early the next morning, as was my wont. I went out on the little balcony that was at the back that opened out onto the parking lot. Looked down to the parking lot, and I saw a big van there.
Mm-hmm.
Big white van, and it said on the side of the van, Domesticon, in big capital letters, and there was a jet engine on the roof of it. And it was a jet engine,
yeah.
Such as they used on the old Electras.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what the hell could that be? I'm sure they don't fire up that jet or the thing would take off.
Yeah.
And just then, I look over at the balcony beside me, and Coop has just walked out yawning. And he said, good morning. And I looked down. I said, Coop, what the hell is that? And he looked down to the parking lot, and he said, the big truck? And I said, yeah, what is it? He said, I don't know. He said, but all I can tell you is that jet engine is going to make it quite a competitor. And I said, yeah, that's a jet engine. How could they possibly use something like that? He said, oh, it must be a sales gimmick of some kind. I said, yeah, I guess so. What's Domesticon? He said, I don't know. So anyway, I went back inside, changed, went down for breakfast, and it was a Monday morning, and I was coming up in Time magazine for some reason or other. They had something coming up that mentioned me. So I went over to the news desk, and I said, when do you get Time magazine in? She said, it'll be in about half an hour or so.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, should I reserve a copy? And I said, well, I'll wait around here, if you don't mind. And she said, no, he'll be here any minute. And so I looked over, and there's a fellow in dark glasses lounging against the counter, and it was Woody Allen.
Really?
And I had met Woody a couple of years before at WNEW in New York when I was doing the Sonny Fox show, the Wonderama show there, and he had been there doing some sort of a pilot thing or other, and I introduced myself at that time. I didn't know whether he'd remember me. Uh-huh. And I walked over and introduced myself, and he took off the glasses. He said, oh, yeah, I remember you, so-and-so. And we shook hands. And he said, what are you doing in town? I said, what are you doing in town? He said, well, I'm shooting a film here. And I said, oh, good. I said, anything I would know about? No, we haven't even got a title for it yet. And I said, I see. He said, so what are you doing? And I said, I'm with the Alice Cooper show. He said, yeah, I saw it advertised. He said, you're with the show? And I said, yeah. And he said, oh, can I get to meet Alice Cooper? And I said, I think it could be arranged. I have an idea that he would be very pleased to meet you. So I took a scrap of paper there and I wrote down, I didn't say it out loud, I wrote down his room number.
Yeah.
And I said, he's in this room, but you won't share that with anybody, will you? And he said, no. And so he turned to the woman. He said, I'll be back for the Time magazine. He was waiting for Time magazine to come in too.
Gotcha.
So he hustled away and went up the elevator, and I didn't know what happened after that. But Time magazine did come in. I got a copy, went up to my room and read it, and it was okay. Later on that night, I showed up at the Coliseum or stadium or where the hell it was. I don't know. And as I walked in, Coop came running over to me and said, you sent Woody Allen to my room. And I said, yeah, is that okay? He said, okay.
Yeah.
He said, I've got to kiss you. And kiss. He said, yes. He said, oh, we had a fine time. And I'm in his movie. I said, really? And I said, what's the movie about? And he said, no, they don't have a name for it yet, but that was the truck that was out in the alley.
Yeah.
Sleeper.
I was just going to say.
Sleeper was the name of the movie that they eventually gave the name to.
Yeah.
And that was the Domesticon van in which the Domesticons, these robots with the funny filters in their mouths and everything, were seated. And Coop is in the movie.
What I've seen it. I love the movie. And I can't remember the life of me what.
As it's going down the highway, he's not in makeup, ready. He's just standing at the side of the highway trying to hitch a ride. And you don't recognize him at all. And it just goes right by. It's the briefest movie debut that you ever want to see.
Oh, that is awesome.
He's hardly noticed at all. In fact, he's just gone like that.
That's great.
At least he said, I'm in his movie. And I said, oh, great. Well, oh, fine. He said he took me out to the set, and we watched the filming and everything. It's going to be a hilarious movie. It's just great. So that was that was the last time I saw met Woody Allen, I must say. That was many years ago. Many years ago.
Many moons. Yes. All right. Well, yeah, I'll tell you what, this is fantastic.
So that was one of the bonuses that I enjoyed as a member of the Alice Cooper team.
All right. Well, that about wraps it up for this episode of The Amazing Show. I want to thank, of course, the man who made Alice Cooper's cameo in Sleepers possible.
And chopped his head off.
James Randi. And chopped his head off.
Indeed.
All right. I'm Justin Robert Young. We'll see you guys next week. Questions? Comments? Topic suggestions? Email us at randy@itricks.com.